Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest-growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 160,000 listeners in over 70 countries. We have an incredible show today for you with prayers from Fukushima, and which I'll be doing with a wonderful singer and supporter of Dr. Moto in Los Angeles named Kana Kanorma. Kana just returned from a fantastic and amazing trip to Egypt where she met some celestial beings, and she'll be doing some prayers with me for Fukushima. After that, I'll be interviewing Sydney Kirkpatrick, a famous and award-winning writer and author from Los Angeles. Sydney has appeared on countless major television and radio shows, and I'm so happy he'll be coming on my show. He's also an author of a book on Edgar Cayce called Edgar Cayce, an American Prophet. I have a copy of the book right here with me. And he will be a keynote speaker at my Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, on March 9th, 10th, and 11th. And if you can come to the conference, you'll be able to meet him in person. If you register for a few words about my conference, if you register before January 20th, you'll receive a $50 discount off the regular conference fee and just pay $147 for the entire three-day conference. We'll have some incredible people, including Michiko Hayashi, who's from Tokyo, Japan, of the Immortal Peace Project. She'll be giving a presentation of Dr. Moto's wonderful work. Seiichiro Yoshinuchi, I hope I pronounced that correctly, a famous Hado instructor also from Tokyo. Dr. Kairo Roca, a wonderful naturopathic doctor from the Bahamas, who will be giving presentations on acupuncture, feng shui, ancient Buddhist healing techniques, homeopathy, and a host of other alternative healing methods. Dr. Angel Fernandez from the Dominican Republic, he's a wonderful man. He sponsors a conference called the Conference of Peace and Light in the Dominican Republic every year. I've been to twice at two of his conferences, and I'm so happy he's coming. Simon Parks will be there as well, appearing by Skype from England. We will also have in person Professor Jerry Pollock of the University of Washington, a famous water professor, Sydney Kirkpatrick, of course, of the Edgar Cayce Foundation, Judy Kelly, who I consider one of the best psychics in America, Carolyn White, an oral reader, speaker, and author, will be there, as well as Teresa Carroll, a wonderful psychic, Tom Palladino, a scalar healer, Billy Woodard, and his father Zora from the Hollow Earth will be there. Robbie Holtz will be there. She's an Australian Aboriginal healer. Tony Rodriguez will be making an appearance and a presentation. He was with the 20-year Secret Space Program. And then, of course, we'll be having Josh and Adam Biggleson. I call them the Blood Brothers because they do diagnostic work with blood, like similar what Dr. Emoto did. And myself will be there as well, giving a presentation. We will also be showing the premiere showing of a movie called Reading by Tetsushiro Tori. He's a famous Japanese film producer on Edgar Cayce. This is the first time a full-length film has been produced on Edgar Cayce, and this will also be the North American premiere of the movie. So if you'd like to register, please go to the website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. I'd like to thank everyone's support for this program because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I also have a new television program called Out of This World TV, which broadcasts three times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays on Channel 22 in the Seattle area. And there's over 50 episodes now available under Out of This World or Ted Marr under YouTube. Tomorrow, I will be doing my show in the studio, my television show, and I'll be interviewing a fellow from the United Kingdom who said he was abducted and then served in an extraterrestrial army. That'll be very interesting, so I'll let you know when that airs. I'll be leaving for Peru, and in about 2 weeks, I'll be broadcasting live from Machu Picchu at about the 8,000-foot elevation and high in the Andes Mountains. Machu Picchu is considered the seventh wonder of the world and is an incredibly spiritual place. Joining me on the program in two weeks will be several Inca shaman. They will be talking about the kinds of changes which we'll be seeing this year, and I think you'll find it really fascinating. I'm also taking a small group of people with me to Peru, and if you'd like to come along, there's still some room. The cost is only $350 per person in addition to airfare and accommodations, which are running about $7 to $20 a night. If you'd like to come along, please send me an email to outofthisworld.com. 1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll free at 1-888-879-8339, which is good in the United States and in Canada. I also wanted to tell you that there's an incredible, I'm sponsoring another psychic event, conference called the Cosmic Awareness Fair on Saturday, January 20th, just 1 week from tomorrow at the Washington RV and Event Center in Olympia. The address is 9101 Stillicum Road, just off of exit 111. I'll be giving a free presentation there at 1 p.m. on January 20th, as well as Michiko Hayashi will be coming in from Tokyo to give a presentation at 2 p.m. On the wonderful work of the Moto Peace Project and Dr. Moto. In addition, this Sunday, 2 days from now, on January 14th, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., I'll also be giving another free presentation on messages from the Masters at the Crystal Void Spiritual Center in Tacoma. They're located at the corner of 38th and Cedar Street, and I'll also have my new book available, Messages from the Masters, as well as the Moto Peace Project children's books for donations. I want to thank everyone so much around the world who helped me raise consciousness and supported my program, and especially want to thank Marku from Finland, Jan Rossini of California, Anita Curtis from Dublin, Ireland, Dorothy from Montreal, Jason in North Vancouver, Shirley and Faison in Florida, Nina in Mexico, as well as my good friends Elias and Mary Neuschwanger from Costa Rica. Also, I want to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show and my angelic and earthly family, and, of course, KKNW and my producer today, Tracy, who without whose help this program would not be airing right now. Also, I believe in the power of prayer, and my good friend Carol just lost her father recently, and I'd like to ask everyone listening today to please send lots of love and light to her, Marge, her mom, and her family to help with the loss of their beautiful father. Also, if you could please send lots of love and light to Masako, Hayashi in Japan, Michiko Hayashi's mother who had a stroke last year, as well as to my good friend Orion in Bend, Oregon, and Dr. William Mount. And I really appreciate your sending them lots of love and light. Also, as you know, we've had these tragic fires in the Los Angeles area during the last month, and now they're being hit by rains. And please send lots of love and light to them as well. I wanted to tell you all that I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. And I wanted to ask my friend Tracy here, my producer, have we fixed the technical problems?
Yep, we're all good to go.
Okay, great. Could you please bring Kana on from Los Angeles?
Yes, here she is.
Okay, Kana, hi, how are you today?
Hi, good. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. It was really strange. I tried before and I couldn't hear you when I wanted to talk to you before we got on air, but that's okay. We're talking now. And I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly. Could you pronounce it for me, Kana, so I don't make a mistake?
Sure, it's Koinuma, and it actually means carp pond in Japanese.
Okay. Okay.
Like the koi fish, if you think koi. And then Numa means pond. So.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Great. Well,
Koinuma.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, you're wonderful.
And thank you for the prayers for the the fire and everything in L.A. I feel, it was a major cleansing that needed to happen, unfortunately, but I was in deep prayer the whole time the fires were burning. And with the new year and the new energies and the rain, I feel like we have, L.A. is completely cleansed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was very important because, we have Hollywood, and Hollywood is very influential.
Sure.
So...
Sure.
L.A. got a big dose of cleansing and purification, and we're ready to go for the new year.
well, I guess it bothered me, though, Kana, because I hate to see anyone suffer, and I...
Exactly, exactly. I was in deep prayer as well, and it was literally 10 minutes away from my house as well, or my apartment. So we're definitely, a lot of us light workers were in deep prayers. That the fires stay away from homes and people, and it seems like the prayers were working for, especially the one here near my area. We were basically praying for the entire fire everywhere.
Uh-huh.
but I feel like everybody's prayers worked because it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the firefighters were great.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to mention this, but I wanted to mention this on the air to you now, that I had seen some YouTube videos of the fires down in your area where mm-hmm. People were alleging there were lasers coming down from somewhere up in the sky, who knows where, actually starting these fires and then targeting homes and cars. And they showed this film of a car that had melted. It hadn't burned. It
oh,
melted.
Interesting.
And the bumpers actually,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, had melted into the highway, so street. And so I posted, reposted, shared it on Facebook, and Facebook took my post down without explanation. And I didn't know whether you'd heard that down there that was going on or what exactly.
No, I've heard nothing of that. Yeah. I was just in deep prayer and just focus on, you know, the fires and where it was located so we can really focus on the prayer aspect of it and, you know, keeping it at bay, as well as we also need to know that Mother Earth needs to cleanse herself.
Sure.
Especially here in LA, but you know, we've been asking for grace and ease, and we had 2 days of beautiful rain. I know that, you know, it brought mudslides and lamps, you know, and all that, but it really just energetically, it feels very purified, cleansed, and beautiful here now.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
From my perspective and my opinion.
Well, it's a heavy price to pay, though, and I know a lot of people have
yes.
suffered, so I'd like to send
yes, definitely. And continued prayers, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
You know, it was definitely a serious ordeal. It was not something to take lightly. And the fact that, you know, it really was close to me, you know, I was deep in prayer for 3 or 4 days straight with that, you know, completely focused on the fires. And I know a lot of light workers were doing the same. So, you know, we thank anyone who was sending prayers to LA because I really feel like it worked. And as tragic as it was, you know, it. Thank goodness it's over. The rain came.
yeah.
Purification and cleansing happened. And, you know, I just want to report being here in L.A., my personal experience, it feels purified and cleansed
well,
and magnificent. And I also feel the celestial mm-hmm. being, you know, Los Angeles is the city of angels.
Right.
And I feel, you know, after the purification, a whole new set of angelic beings are now here in the LA area, and that is very beautiful.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, there's a part in my book. I tried to look for it on the website today, and it was gone. I couldn't find it, but I do have it in my book, and I do have the reference. And it's an experiment that Dr. Emoto did back in, I believe, 1999. He took a bottle of radioactive water from one of the reactors in Japan, and he wrote the word love and gratitude on the bottle and put a love and gratitude crystal on the bottle. And within 48 hours, Kana, this is amazing. I want to tell you this, everyone who's listening today, that within 48 hours, the radiation was completely gone.
Yes, I heard that story, and I'm a firm believer of that because I actually have a bottle on my altar of the ocean, and
oh,
I
wow.
have love, purification,
yeah.
and it really feels clean, and I live 2 blocks from the ocean, and, you know, I literally do a prayer. Every time I go to the ocean, I do Dr. Emoto's prayer. Oh, the great invocation in Japanese is beautiful. I did it in Egypt at the Red Sea, cleansing the Red Sea. Dr. Emoto's prayers are beautiful, powerful, and effective. And I'm a firm believer in that. And like I said, I have my own ocean water here at my altar with
Wonderful.
The words purity, love, gratitude, in, you know, in continuing Dr. Emoto's tradition and carrying his work in
right.
the way I can. And 2 days ago, I was literally at the ocean chanting and doing the during the purification as well for the
mm-hmm.
whole entire planet, because
oh, nice.
We are all powerful beings, and you know, when we invoke that, it really happens.
Nice.
And sometimes I think we forget how powerful we truly are.
Well, I'd like to ask you and everyone listening today to please say this water prayer for Fukushima.
Absolutely.
Much of the radiation, I have to tell you, has been cleaned up by the Galactic
yes.
Alliance, which is wonderful news. This was quite an issue back in 2014.
Yeah.
Because there was a huge plume of radioactive water coming from Fukushima directly for San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, Vancouver, Canada. And so I went out and had water samples taken of the water off the Pacific in Washington, sent them to the state of California because Governor Jerry Brown, he was really nice to me. He said, Ted, you can test all the water samples for free with our California laboratories. And I did that because our governor here in Washington State, Jay Inslee, refused. He had shut down all the radiation monitoring stations and refused to do any testing. So I sent it down to Governor Brown. And I know people, I don't know a lot about California politics, and I'm sure people have disagreements with him. But for that, I really was really happy, and I want to thank his office so much for doing
that's
that.
Beautiful.
Because the results came back, and there was no radiation anywhere. Nothing.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Ted.
It had been cleaned up. But I called Billy Fay Woodard this morning to get an update on what was going on in his father, Zora, but they're not. Something must be going on because they're not taking any interviews right now. He's involved in a critical project, he said, and couldn't talk to him today. But this is a water prayer that Dr. Emoto did on April 11th, 2011, right after Fukushima happened back in March of 2011. I'd like, if you could say this, please. I'd like to say it three times, Kana, and everyone listening today.
Yes, absolutely.
He said to all water on this planet Earth. Go ahead, say that, Kana.
To all waters on this planet Earth.
We respect you.
We respect you.
Love you and appreciate you.
Love you and appreciate you.
We are sorry for having ignored you until now.
We are sorry we have ignored you until now.
Please forgive us.
Please forgive us.
We thank you.
We thank you.
And we love you.
And we love you.
Yeah. Let's do it twice more and send lots of love and light to Fukushima so it can be cleaned up.
Absolutely.
Let's do it twice more. To all water on this planet Earth.
To all waters on this planet Earth.
We respect you.
We respect you.
Love you and appreciate you.
Love you and appreciate you.
We are sorry for having ignored you until now.
We are sorry we have ignored you until now.
Please forgive us.
Please forgive us.
We thank you and we love you.
We thank you and we love you.
And for those naysayers out there who might think, oh, these are just words. Well, words are very powerful, and I'll go into that in a moment. But let's do it one more time, my friend. Just say it and send lots of love and light to Fukushima. To all water on this planet.
To all water on this planet.
We respect you.
We respect you.
Love you and appreciate you.
Love you and appreciate you.
We are sorry for having ignored you until now.
We are sorry that we ignored you until now.
Please forgive us.
Please forgive us.
We thank you.
We thank you.
And we love you.
And we love you.
And of course, I'm in touch with Dr. Emoto on the other side, and he's very happy we said that today because Fukushima still is an issue. The galactics are not going to let us, the Galactic Alliance is not going to let us kill ourselves with lots of radiation. But they're not going to, they cleaned up about 90% of the radiation, but they're not going to clean it up 100% because they want us to learn our lesson. So we don't build any more nuclear power plants. It's a failed energy. There is a nuclear power plant, actually, I read the other day, under construction in Georgia that was ordered by President Obama 5 years ago. It's way, way over cost overruns. It's so expensive, and I hope that doesn't get finished. But people should realize that outside of this planet, my Galactic Alliance friends tell me that nuclear energy is actually illegal, and it's prohibited on advanced civilizations beyond Earth here. And we actually were given this technology by the reptilians, and we were given this technology not so much for the purpose of energy but for the purpose of weapons to destroy ourselves. And we nearly did. We've come close many times. But the Galactics, I know, are there. They're helping us behind the scenes, and they're not going to let us commit suicide with these crazy, crazy weapons.
Oh, no.
You know, this is one of the reasons why it's a long story. You can read it about it in my book. But I want to get to you while we have some time. You're a sound healer.
Yes.
Sound therapist.
And, mm-hmm. Yes, and adding to that, can I add to that power of the spoken word? I recently wrote an article in one of the magazines about what is toning, you know, what is sound healing, and the power of the spoken word and the power of sound. I mean, sound created the universe, you know, the Bible says, you know, first there was the word.
Right.
Every, and, you know, me being also an energy healer or, you know, energy worker, I don't, you know, I think we heal our own selves, but we're just there to support other people. But, you know, being an energy worker and kind of sensing and feeling energy, the spoken word is so powerful. I think we've forgotten how powerful each word is.
Right.
After I came back from Egypt, you know, I realized the power of the spoken word. And the Egyptians, ancient Egyptians knew this. And when I came back from Egypt, I felt a deep need to just stay in silence. And I was in silence for 2 full days in the darkness. I put blindfolds on, 2 full days and 2 full nights, just water fasting, receiving inner guidance. And, you know, if we, like, words are thought forms, you know, and if you don't realize how, you know, are we polluting the planet with our words and our thoughts, or are we adding light to the planet? You know, are we helping the planet? Raise consciousness, and every word is very important. That's what I discovered after the 2-day, you know, deep meditation and fasting. Is now I just, you know, I don't say anything that I don't mean. I also don't speak when I don't need to speak. You know, just mindless chatter. You know, it's all energy that comes out of our mouth. Everything is energy.
Right.
So I think being mindful of our words is very important, and the power of every word that comes out of my mouth, it is absolutely powerful.
Right. It is. It absolutely is. Of course, in Japan, there's Shintoism, and Shintoism believes that, if you correct me, you probably know more about it than I do, but I've heard that, that every entity has a spirit behind it, and words have spirits too, don't they?
I believe so. Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, that savvy on Shintoism. I think it's incorporated in our Japanese life, you know, naturally, but I haven't studied it myself. But everything in, you know, Shintoism, everything is honored and revered. And I think that's how beautiful to honor and rever everything.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, everything, everyone. And thank you, Ted, for that water blessing.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Fukushima, I really appreciate you doing that for, you know, Japan and the world, and our words are powerful, extremely powerful. So, you know, I think it's really important to remind ourselves what we say and what we, you know, the words we use every day, because that really matters.
Right. It does matter. It does matter. Now, I'll be bringing on Sidney Kirkpatrick, an interesting fellow who's written books about Edgar Cayce, and you may want to listen in on that or join us, actually, because he's an amazing man. He'll be coming on in a few minutes.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but you also sing, don't you? Would you like to sing a song and dedicate it to maybe Fukushima?
Yes, I would love to do some sound healing, sound toning, I call it, for, you know, to purify, cleanse, and then to bring in the new year of, you know, prosperity, abundance, peace, love, joy, you know, all wrapped up into one, and sending it all out to the entire planet, the ocean, the land, everywhere that's needed. I would love to do a special sound toning prayer right here, right now, a song. And I'm going to bring in the celestial realms that I tapped into in Egypt.
Okay.
I'll bring them through as well.
Okay.
And the music of the spheres. Thank you.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
It is.
Thank you so much, Kana, for sharing
Thank
that.
Thank you.
That is really, really nice. Can you give out a website or a way people can reach you there, an email perhaps?
Sure. It's angelicsoundtherapy.com.
Okay.
www.angelicsoundtherapy.com.
Okay. Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. And you know about, I'm sure you know about Tom Kenyon's work. He does a lot of sound therapy.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. He's been on my show before. And the one thing I wanted to ask you about is about Egypt. I'd read in
Yes. Absolutely.
About Dolores, Dolores Cannon had written, she either told me before she passed on, I think she wrote it on a book, though, that they actually moved those stones into place to create the pyramids with sounds. They all had a
yes.
large group. Could you explain that a little bit if you know something
about
that?
I believe that, too. There are a lot of people that don't believe it, but being in the pyramids by myself
right.
and having memories, actually, you know, I was part of that. Civilization. The first time back this lifetime at the pyramids, I knew all the codes. I knew all the light codes.
Wow.
Serapis Bey was the architect of the pyramid back then, mm-hmm. and I was there with him.
Wow.
I had memories of it, and that really deeply resonates with me that, you know, not all pyramids were made with sound, but the Great Pyramid of Giza, most definitely, it resonates with me that it was created with sound. And that's how powerful sound is. And the original hieroglyphs, too, through memory and recall at these temples, not all temples, but these mm-hmm. sacred temples like mm-hmm. Dendera and the mm-hmm. Isis temple and one of mm-hmm. you know, the older temples, the hieroglyphs were not chiseled. They were not chiseled.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
were, you know, created, infused with the third eye. You know, these advanced beings had these technologies where they would just infuse the hieroglyphs with their third eye, and the purpose of it was to infuse the high frequency of love, pure and simple.
Interesting.
So
That's
when you touch
very
these hieroglyphs, you receive the energy, and it's still there, in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the codes we found on the walls were amazing. We found ascension codes, literally codes on how to ascend, right there in front of our eyes.
Really?
You know,
wow.
and
wow.
you would have to, your heart, mm-hmm. you know, your heart would have to know what these codes are, and
mm-hmm.
that's the beauty and the magnificence of Egypt. It's still all there, fully intact, and a lot of the groups are coming back now and reactivating these pyramids and these mm-hmm. temples, and,
wow.
you know, that's what our group did in September and December, and I have to say, you know, they are fully active. They are
wow.
fully,
wow.
you know, reactivated. Now's the time. All the energies of Christ consciousness are coming back
mm-hmm.
on the planet that we're able to do this now fully without it being misused ever again.
Wow.
And the ascension flame is in full force at the Luxor Temple,
wow.
the Temple of Man.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it myself being anchored in.
Mm-hmm.
Also in Alexandria, the ascension flame is in full force, meaning, you know, it's here on the planet. More people, you know, it's easier for people to ascend. You know, I could go on and on. I don't want to take more time. But,
no, that's fine.
I could go on and on about the beautiful, magical experiences of Egypt. And these hieroglyphs are there in plain sight for people to receive, you know,
yep.
the people and the beings who came to me, you know, at
yeah.
the pyramid, they said, only the purest of hearts may enter. So if
wow.
you enter with the purest of hearts, you don't even have to ask. They come to you.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You know, that's what I discovered in Egypt. They just came to me.
That's...
I had these light languages, and I just used these light languages. And the minute I did these light languages, boom, these amazing galactic beings came and just showed me the purest form of the pyramid. The pyramid was, you know, it was just a representation of who we truly are.
Yeah.
You know, we're connected to God as above, so below.
Right.
The pyramid was a direct portal to the heavens, to the gods, and to below, to Mother, to Gaia. And that it was just a representation of that, and that we are that as well. You know, we are a reflection of that. And we are connected to God, and we are connected to Mother Earth being here on Earth. And that was the whole point of the Great Pyramid of Giza, and it's also an ascension portal.
Mm.
You know, the people that were ready to ascend, that was, you know, laying in the sarcophagus, It was an opportunity for people to ascend right there and there.
Wow, beautiful.
Right there, yeah.
Wow.
But these hieroglyphs were unbelievable. I came back completely resurrected, reborn, with, you know, I feel like I have a whole new vehicle
Creating
right now and adjusting.
That's fantastic. I wanted to tell you, Kana, that and let my listeners know, too, that when I go to Peru, at Machu Picchu, there are connections between Machu Picchu and Peru, the ancient civilization in Peru, with Egypt. And I say that because
I believe it.
There's a temple at Machu Picchu, which I'll be visiting at in about 10 days, 2 weeks, which is called Isis.
Oh, beautiful.
And you ask the locals there, they say, yeah, there's a connection with Egypt there because they did a lot of transport between. If they were advanced enough to build these incredible pyramids, then they could travel across the planet, no problem.
Exactly, Ted. I'm in agreement with you 100%. I've not made it to Machu Picchu yet, but I have a very deep connection to them.
Yeah.
You know, the beings there.
Sure.
I feel the same. They're absolutely connected to Egypt. It's the same civilization, as well as the Bosnian pyramids that people know much about. And I've been to the Bosnian pyramids, and Isis is there as well.
Oh, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, that when I was there in Peru in October, and I'm going to go back to this site when I'm there in a couple of weeks, I visited a place where they excavated these ancient Indian mummies just south of the Nazca Lines. And there's pottery there that's completely written. They have Egyptian hieroglyphics and the Egyptian eyes on these pottery shards. And I bought them. And I said to myself, and the locals said, oh, yeah, there's definite, you can see the connections there between that civilization, which is about 2500 BC, and Egypt as well. And then we'll be going to a museum at a place called Paracas on the coast of Peru, where they have elongated skulls, and they're hybrid ET human skulls, and the elongated skulls look just like the ones in Egypt.
In Egypt.
Same thing. What was interesting is that in Paracas, there were a group of Indians called the Nazca Indians who came in at about 500 BC, and for the next 800 to 1,000 years, they systematically wiped out the elongated skulls people, because they consider them a threat, and they got rid of them. And then you look at the Nazca lines, which are lines for UFOs landing in Peru. So it all kind of fits in. Everything fits in. You know, everything fits in. It fits in. But unfortunately, when you're having so much fun, Kana, time goes by really fast. we've got a few minutes left, but I wanted to ask, is it possible you could bring in your celestial friends now and perhaps they could give us some messages for humanity and how we can make this planet a better place?
Sure. For me, they were here when I was singing, they were here. Gave a blessing.
Okay.
But it really is, they're here to support and help the planet, and it really is about love. How love transmutes everything. They showed me how easy, how easy love can transmute the biggest or the heaviest of anger, grief, depression. Literally, we just call in the celestial beings, ask them for guidance, your God self. You ask your God self. But the most important thing is bring in that love, because love heals everything. I don't know how many more minutes, but I would love to bring them in again through sound.
Go ahead, bring them in,
and
we'll bring on Sydney. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'll just do a light language real quick.
That's fine. Goodness. Oh, my, that's so beautiful. Thank you, Kana. Light language. I didn't know you spoke light language.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Did you learn that when you were in Egypt now?
No. It came through 10 years ago, just organically.
Okay. Okay, wonderful.
And then, yeah, and it just gets more powerful every day.
Oh my gosh! Wow, wow! Are your celestial friends with you now?
Yes, yes.
Okay, would they like to give us any good messages? Or if not, that's fine too.
That was the light language was the message for everybody, and everybody will receive it in the best way for them.
Okay.
And that's what I love about the light language. Yeah, I was just a vessel for the
okay.
celestial being.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
That was their light language to everybody.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yes.
Well, Kana, the time has gone so quickly. I'm so sorry. But you're a wonderful singer with a wonderful message for the world, and I'm so glad that you could come on today.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me.
I want you to stay on for a minute. I'll introduce you to my next guest. And if you could give out your website again for people, they could
contact
you.
Sure. It's www.angelicsoundtherapy.com.
Okay, angelicsoundtherapy.com. And Tracy, if you could please keep Kana on the air and bring on Sydney now. Okay. Oh, is Sydney there?
Yes. Hi.
Oh, Sydney. Hi. It's so good to talk to you.
Excellent.
Sydney, I have another friend of mine named Kana Koinuma from the Los Angeles area, and she used sound therapy for healing. And I just wanted to introduce you two since you're both in the same area. Kana, this is Sydney, and Sydney, this is Kana.
Hi. So nice to meet you.
Hey, Kana, it was so fascinating listening to your music and certainly reference of music of the spheres, which holds such resonance, you know, with the Edgar Casey material. It's something he discussed at length and is just so vital to his bigger message. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but
how beautiful.
You know, the advancements in sound technology and understanding sort of vibratory influence today is just so phenomenal. There's a scientist in Austria, you know, who's using sound to levitate objects now. I think the heaviest object he's actually been able to levitate is a pencil. But he held this spectacular, exhibition of what he could do for the press. And what he did is he levitated water from a boiling pot, and it sort of came up like a teardrop. And once he got it into the air, it started spinning like a planet. And then he moved some Folgers coffee grains into it, and
that
was great.
That's incredible.
So he mixed some coffee and then he dropped it into cups for the various reporters and press that were there. It's just really exciting, and it's a confirmation of, you know, of what we all know and what ancient tradition talks about.
Absolutely.
Well, we're all on the same page, and it's interesting how, Kana, you have your perspective, of course, from your travels and singing and deep spiritual studies, and Sydney, you have your perspective too, researching and getting to know the life of Edgar Casey and the things that he learned as well. So it's interesting. I always find it fascinating when you have the same synchronicities. You're talking about the same thing.
Well, I hope we can all decide, we can ferret out actually how the pyramids were built. There's certainly cases that it was sound, that he used sound to move the block.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it'll all come together, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I think it's all coming together. The knowledge, the technology, I feel like now, you know, in this new golden age, it'll all be revealed.
Sydney and Kana, of course, I'll be coming down to, along with Michiko Hayashi, to the Conscious Life Expo next month in Los Angeles on February 9th, 10th, and 11th. And if you're both there, it'd be great to see both of you there when we're there.
Yeah, I certainly am looking forward to seeing you in March at the Galactic Conference.
Great.
Very much looking forward to that. And I think we'll just have a wonderful time. I think it's, May 9th and 10th?
March 9th. March 10th and 11th. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And Connie, you're welcome to come up too if you can make it up.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's hard for me because I'm a single mom and I have two boys that I'm raising.
Sure. Okay, yeah, you're busy.
Thank you, but I'll definitely see you in February here in L.A.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we get back from Peru, I think, on the 7th, and we fly the 8th down to Los Angeles. So it's going to be a busy time. But I do love that airplane food. I look forward to the snacks and food on airlines. They're so delicious. anyway, well, Kana, you're welcome to stay on if you like. You might have some things to add on.
I have to actually go pick up my boy.
Okay.
So I will hang up now. But it was lovely to meet you, Sydney. I would love to hear more about Edward Casey and Edgar Casey. He's always been a fascination of mine, and I would love to listen to. I will listen to it in my car on my way to picking up my boys.
Okay.
Thank you, Ted, for having me on again.
Well, I'm so glad you could join in these prayers for Fukushima.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Kana.
Much love
so much.
To everyone.
All right. Thank you so much, Kana.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Sydney, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
This is a fun subject, and you know, all power to you for your radio show. It's just wonderful. And I hope you go worldwide.
Well, thank you, Sydney. That's very kind of you to say that. I now am heard in over 70 countries. I have about 160,000 listeners. Sometimes it's more. Depends upon the program and holidays, that kind of thing. But it's entirely listener-supported. I started this over 4 years ago. And it started when a homeless man actually came up to me in a library where I was reading. And I didn't know him, Sydney, and he said my name. He said, Ted, I looked at him, and I'm like, who are you? And he said, I'm supposed to tell you that you're supposed to start a radio program and write a book. And then he kind of disappeared. And then a few weeks later, I was in a different library. I like libraries and reading. And another fellow came up to me, a fireman, actually, who was off duty that day, and he said the same thing. And then he disappeared, and I said, you know, I think the other side's trying to tell me something. So then I started this radio show back in November of 2013. So I've been doing it now over 4 years. And I finally published my book called Messages from the Masters, Messages from Professor Albert Einstein, Jack Kennedy, Nostradamus, and Other Great Spirits a couple of months ago. And so, but we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. And and I appreciate you coming on today so much, Sydney. Now we're having, for people who don't know, Sydney Kirkpatrick is an award-winning filmmaker and international best-selling author. You've written many, many books, including acclaimed nonfiction books, including A Cast of Killers, Turning the Tide, and Edgar Casey, an American prophet. Profiles of you have appeared in the New York Times, Time Magazine, The New Yorker, and you do a lot of traveling, and what I like about you, Sydney, I can tell your heart's in a good spot. You want to make this world a better place. I've got a copy of your book here. I started to read it, but I didn't realize it's a wonderful book. My goodness, it's over 500 pages long. And to be honest, I haven't read the entire book, but I've started on it. I've read it. So,
well, it was truly a labor of love. I mean, my wife and I worked on that project full time for 7 years.
Oh my goodness!
It was just extraordinary. And if I hadn't had the success from previous books, I wouldn't have had the luxury of taking that kind of time and doing that kind of travel. But it was just a subject that I just grew more and more fascinated by.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And today I know it sounds a lot of people wouldn't accept it, but I really divide my life. Sort of the life before discovering Edgar Casey and the life after Edgar Casey, because it was such a transforming experience working on that book. I mean, I went from a dedicated skeptic to an ardent believer.
Wow,
it's a real transforming thing.
Wow, that's
my mother, who was a writer, I come from a very big family of writers, but my mother, as I was growing up, was very, very interested in helping to shape, my literary career, and as well as my two sisters. And when I announced I was writing a biography of Edgar Casey, she just freaked out. She said, oh, my God, you're going to destroy your career. This is the worst thing you could possibly do. And out of the, you know,
the worst thing you could possibly do? Really?
Yeah,
she said that?
Absolutely. Well, I think many skeptics are like that in the mainstream, and
sure.
just felt like I was losing my career. And sadly, that was the only book of mine she never read.
Oh, what a shame. What a shame. Is your mom on the other side now?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I just got the, I'm a psychic, and she just told me, she's smiling, and she said, I have read your book now. She says, thank you, Sydney. She doesn't think you're crazy after all. How funny. Well,
but that your previous guest, it was just so fascinating listening to the music of the spheres, because it's really been on my mind quite some time. You know, with the Casey readings, there are so many readings which, when they were given, you know, trance information was given sometimes back in the 20s, 1930s, you know, right up into the 40s, much of the stuff, or I won't say much, but a portion of the stuff was just dismissed as totally ludicrous. You couldn't begin to believe it. And some of the readings on sound treatment for healing, for example, mm-hmm. they were just dismissed out of hand when he gave them. Mm-hmm. You know, but today it's state of the art, and the music of the spheres in particular resonates because perhaps one of the strangest and most unusual Casey treatments of a blind man.
Hmm.
And Casey went into trance, and his prescribed treatment was listening to the same opera over and over and over.
Really?
I don't know how many times a day he was to listen to it, but he was to go into a room and just listen to it, and somehow the vibrations from that particular opera excited the nerves in his, you know, his optic nerves, and he regained his eyesight from listening to this. So it's just interesting. It's fascinating.
That is just amazing. That is just amazing. You know, there's so many ways. We've got the rest of this time, which is about 8, maybe 6 minutes or so, and then we have our hour, next hour too as well. But I wanted to ask, there's lots of different ways we could go, Sydney, but which way would you like to start off with your discussion of Mr. Casey?
Well, yeah, I suppose we should start off discussing sort of Edgar Casey in general, because many people don't know who Edgar Casey was.
Sure.
And or they know the name, and they have a sort of vague idea of his contribution. And of course, you can come at Casey himself through many different ways, but maybe just for people who aren't, you know, who aren't brushed up on their Edgar Casey, maybe just talk a little about who he was and some of the things he did.
Sure, that would be great. That would be great if you could talk
about
that.
And maybe, I don't want to insert myself too much in this, but as I said before, when I started this, I was a really dedicated skeptic. I mean, I've written for a lot of mainstream publications. I've been, worked for Associated Press for a while, magazines, I've been nominated. One of my books was nominated for a Pulitzer.
Wow.
And Edgar Casey was the very last subject I would have ever touched. It just wasn't. And there was a point in my life there where I would have said. Where actually I did say that anybody put their faith in a psychic ought to visit a psychiatrist.
Oh, really? Okay.
I feel like every psychiatrist ought to consult a psychic before they treat any patient.
Well, thank you.
I met and fell in love with Nancy Webster, who's now become my wife, and she was the administrator of a Waldorf school in Pasadena, California. And we got along famously with the exception of the psychic business. And she was kept trying to introduce me to Edgar Casey, and we just had this terrible tug of war over this. And, I finally just stopped her, and she kept giving me these books on Casey and magazine articles. I finally stopped her, and I just said, Nancy, you just got to get real about this. Any of this psychic information, that if you really study it hard, if you really take your time and you unpack, take apart one of these supposed trance readings, it'll just unravel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and as bizarre, you know, these stories that are told about this man, you know, as they're told and retold, they get embellished.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I was trying to, what I would have thought, would have said was talking sense into her, and in reality, you know, she was trying to enlighten me, but she gave me just enough rope to hang myself. And, you know, long story short, and it was a long story, we just took this tug of war to Virginia Beach, which is home to the Edgar Cayce Library and is a conference center.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to bring her into the vault and show her the error of her ways. I was going to show her the trance reading that, you know, that you could really pick apart, that if you really worked on it, it would just completely unravel, fall apart. And I never found that reading.
Oh, really?
And, wow. You know, one day led to the next, and after 2 or 3 weeks, I just didn't know how to explain it. And mm-hmm. sort of that's sort of what started me on this path. And eventually, you know, I spent with Nancy, we worked, you know, 7 years on it. And if I hadn't been successful, you know, in my life previous to Cayce, I wouldn't be able to afford that. But,
sure.
You know, we had a nice advance in the publisher. It was mm-hmm. a mainstream publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And we essentially bought a motorhome, and we traveled to all of the places, you know, Cayce lived and worked, and just spent our time researching. And as I said before, it's been a real life-transforming thing. And I just won't sort of go into this anymore because we can move on. But
okay.
I just remember a moment getting into the Edgar Cayce vault for the first time.
Wow.
And, you know, here's a man who was alleged, you know, to have been able to put himself into trance and give these readings. And in the process of giving the readings, he could sort of answer any question put to him.
Hmm.
And it just sounded so totally ludicrous to me. But when you get into the vault
right.
and you see these 14,000 or so plus readings,
wow.
and those are just the readings we have,
wow.
and, you know, the sheer volume is the first thing that is so convincing, you know, because here's a man, he worked as a photographer for most of his career, so he didn't do it for money.
Wow.
But,
wow.
You get the sheer volume of these readings, 14,000 readings, and, you know, which could take anywhere from 10, 15 minutes to 45 minutes. Gave two a day every day for some 45 years.
Wow.
And
wow.
out of those 14,000, there's probably less than a dozen which are questionable in terms of their accuracy, and probably only one or two which you could actually, you know, say... Wow. It's wrong. So I'm just
Sydney. I hate to interrupt you, my friend, but we're just coming close to our first hour. Please stay tuned, everyone. We'll be bringing Sydney Kirkpatrick back on in just a few minutes. Sydney, please hold on. I'll talk to you off air. Please stay tuned, friends.